Welcome to this week's Coastal Family Church service. My name is Juan Chembri, and today we're going to be, I will be speaking about my worship. So before we do that, let me just open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this service. We thank you for this, the ability to stream and still get your word out. Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to just have your way in this message. Let it permeate our hearts. Let it really soak into us. And Father, I pray that everybody's blessed by this message and everybody gets something out of this message so that we can draw closer to you and we can build a better relationship with you. So it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome again. So today I want to talk about my worship. My worship. What is worship? The reason why I go over simple things like what does this mean? What does worship mean? Is because when you preach, I learned long ago, when you preach, you got to assume that not everybody knows what you're talking about. So you want to kind of explain and bring people along. Now, if you do know what all of this means and you do know what the definitions are and you do know what the meaning is, well, thank God you know where you're at, you know, and thank the Lord that you've come a long way from when you first came to Christ. So, worship. Worship, by definition, by Merriam-Webster, is this. The first definition is to honor or show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power. Now, the second definition is to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. Now, why might you say I'm bringing up worship? Well, I was looking at our current situation, and we have seclusion, we have distancing, we're doing a lot of things. You know, I was looking for opportunities through all of this chaos. Like, what can we do through all of this? Like, the world has been turned upside down. What can we do through this chaos? What can we do in our relationship with Christ, with God, our Father, throughout all of this that's going on? And so the opportunity that I found was all about timing, about time, about look at all this time that we have. We have all this free time, and everybody's thinking about let's do projects, let's do this, let's do that, let's get all these things done that we generally don't have time for. Well, the other opportunity that we have with this time is worship, to develop our worship with God much better than, you know, now everything's been stripped away, right? You're home, you're locked in, you're secluded, you're away from everybody, you're social distancing, you're doing all these crazy things, right? But that's the perfect time for you to take that alone time and make more alone time with God. And so that's why, I found, you know, my worship to the Father. And see, the definition of worship, it says to honor and show reverence. I believe our personal time of worship, one-on-one with our Father, is paramount for all other forms of worship. Is there other forms? Yes, absolutely. We corporately worship together when we come to church. We worship together when we come in small groups, when we do in meetings. There's plenty of opportunity for us to worship, but the paramount worship is your personal worship with God, your personal one-on-one time, that prayer closet time, that time alone just in the house, that time with all distractions all removed. And that's what I saw, that's what I was seeing with all this world shutting down. I said, great, all the distractions are being removed. We can draw now closer to God. So with all this alone time, you know, we can work on our honor and our reverence to God our Father. Now, the first person that I want to look at about being alone with God and really spending time with God is David. David had a lot of alone time with God. It's those times away from all the distractions that you can truly meditate, listen, and know who God our Father is. A great revelation of who God our Father is comes to us by way of Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, we learn three things. We learn to meditate, listen, and to know our God. So let's look at that. Verse 1 through 6. through verse 1 through 6, we learn our Father's character. And it says there in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters his speech, and night after night, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race, its rising from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. Here we see God our Father revealed his character. He's complete. He's from spectrum to spectrum, end to end, Alpha to the Omega. He's the beginning and the end of our faith. He's the author of our faith. We see that all right there just in knowing the character of who God is. And I think it's important because we've been talking about the fullness of God. Well, if you want to know the fullness of God, you got to know the character. You got to know the character of God your Father and what his character is. And I think it's important to just look at there's nowhere he won't go to. There's nothing that can be hidden from him that he can't reach, that he can't know, that he can't see. And we have to get alone with him so that we can appreciate and honor that kind of character that he has. Now here we see God our Father reveals his character. We meditate on it, awesomeness of who he is. We see his fullness and extent of his power and his majesty. Now in verses 7 through 11, we learn to listen to his voice. You know, everybody's wondering, how do I listen? Where is his voice? How do I listen? How do I find his still small voice? Well, there's a couple different ways you can hear his voice, but I'm going to tell you the one big way that you can is a no-brainer for you to do is just get into his word. When you get into his word, those words speak to you. And that word speaking to you is that voice that you have to hear. Now, there's plenty of ways. So anyway, let me get, I love this part of the word because people are always thinking while they're alone, why can't I hear him? Yes, you can hear him. So here, let me read this. So verse 7 through 11 reads this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteousness altogether. More to be desired than gold, yea, than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward. So when we want to hear his voice, when we want to draw close to him, we want to honor him and we want to revere him for not only who he is, but that voice that he gives to us, that voice that reaches out to us and tells us, you know, that you know, because the Holy Spirit tries to talk to you too. Tries to warn you, hey, I don't think you should go that way. Hey, I think you should stop right here. Or, hey, you should keep going because you got more left. So we got to listen. We got to learn to listen to that voice. We got to learn to listen to the voice of the Lord and know that it's him that's talking. And the only way to do that is to get alone. Get alone with him. Know his word. Hear his word. Revere who he is. Honor who he is. And then that's how you develop communication. That's how the communication becomes better. So here, we listen to his voice. His voice is in his word, is in his spirit. His voice may come through a person. God chooses to reveal himself to you. How many times has somebody said, come up to you and say, hey, you know, the Lord really presses on my heart to let you know this. You're hearing the voice of God. Now, of course, you test the spirit. You know that you don't just trust anybody that can walk up to you and tell you, you know, I heard the voice of the Lord for you. Obviously, use wisdom, but, you know, the Lord does try to talk to us, does try to reach out to us. So it's important that we get that alone time so that we know more and more what that voice sounds like. Okay, so here we go. So we're seeking his, notes, sorry. In this instance, because we are seeking alone time with him, we are seeking his voice directly from him. David is describing the benefit of being alone with our Father. Have we not had a lot of time to be alone throughout all of this situation? So now there are other Psalms that you can read where God just pours out to David, and David pours out to God just his genuine love for God, his genuine reverence and honor for God. You know, David in his alone time, whether it was good or hostile, always used his alone time to draw closer to God. Another great example that you can read about David's alone time, being alone with God, is Psalm 63. Here, David is in the wilderness. He's being chased by his son Absalom. And in the midst of life or death, David decides to worship. How fitting is that right now? You know, this virus is, we are in the midst of life or death. You know, we got to be careful. We got to be wise. We got, you know, if you have to wear a mask, you wear a mask. If you have to stay home, you stay home. You wash your hands. You do the right thing. You distance yourself. But in all of that, what David did is the same thing that we should be doing. No matter what's going on out there, we're going to worship the Lord. You get that alone time with him. You get that solitude with him. Now, I won't go through the psalm with you because I'd like for you to just read Psalm 63 and see how beautiful that psalm is that David's just pouring out to God. And so it's a great psalm. And trust me, there are other psalms that David wrote in his alone time, Psalm 23. Everybody knows Psalm 23, right? So it's in that alone time that you find, you know, God really speaking to you and you showing the reverence to him. Because that's the very first thing we should be doing. Not bringing a grocery list, not, you know, reminding God of who we are to him, but just saying, you know what, God, your awesomeness is why I'm here. I choose to be here in this moment just to give you reverence and just to show you honor. So in all this solitude, I, of course, have to go to Jesus, right? In all of this solitude and silence, we have to look at no further than Jesus himself. We see throughout his life, his ministry, he is constantly leaving his ministry, separating and pulling back from people, his disciples, his family, just to be alone with the Father. And I think this is a check. This is this whole time right now, I think this is a check for us, for the Christian body. Like, you got this all this alone time. What are you doing with it? Are you seeking me now? Do you want to build this relationship up stronger than what it is? So, and I listen, I believe we can't be, you know, we can't take this relationship for granted. And that's what I see throughout this whole thing. You know, I see a lot of, in social media, you see a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty. And you know what? When you got a good relationship with God, no matter what's going on around you, there's a peace that overcomes that's just, there's no words for it. And so, we've got to look at what Jesus did in his solitude with the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you some scripture. I'm going to literally ramble off some scripture here, and you're going to see it here on the screen. But you got to see how often Jesus was doing this. And this was a like I said, this is a checkup for not just me, but I think for the whole body, that we just, you know what, get out of the rat race, get out of just trying to be busy and be productive, and get alone with God. So that you can be fueled up by the Spirit, you can hear the voice, and then you can go and do what God's really wanting you to do. So let's go through these scriptures, because Mark, in the book of Mark, really covers a lot of great scripture, and then I'm going to bring you to certain scripture in Luke, and then I'll explain some more there. So these are just some examples of Jesus being alone with the Father. So Mark 1:12 says, at once the Spirit sent Jesus out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and angels attended him. Now, you know that the Spirit was the one that brought him out there. And Jesus withdrew himself before he started his ministry. He went out there and he did that. So we got another example here. Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, walked by the Sea of Galilee, said, come, follow me. He said, very early in the morning while This is now Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Everyone was looking for Jesus, but after his time in prayer, he told his disciples that it was time for them to move on to another village. Despite Jesus' plea that his miracles be kept secret, the news about him spread more so that the crowds of the people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now that's Mark 1:45 and Luke 5:15, 16. Mark 2:13 says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. You could see this. He's doing it often, just withdrawing and being with the Father. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the green fields and his disciples walked along. There he goes again. Jesus withdrew with his disciples. This time he brings in his disciples to the lake and a large crowd from the Galilee followed. Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When the morning came, he called his disciples to him. And this is Mark 3:13. Luke, you could also find this in Luke 6, 12 and 13. I got some more scripture because I really want you to see how much time Jesus was just spending alone with the Father. It's we're here now in, I believe this is Matthew 14, 13. Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables. And when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. That's Matthew 14:13. Because so many people were coming and going that they didn't have a chance to eat, Jesus said to his disciples, "Come with me by yourselves." Here we go again, being alone with the Lord. "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Now we see a little further in that chapter. After Jesus dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountainside, up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was still there alone. Now we see in Mark chapter 7, Jesus entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret because he was always trying. He wasn't about boasting. He didn't have to boast. People spoke of what he did, but it's that alone time that Jesus was really focused on, not only just doing the ministry, but also keep maintaining the relationship. Because we could do all we want. You know, we could run the rat race and like I said, stay busy, keep busy, and doing life. But if we don't get that alone time, and I think that's the focus I'm trying to bring here is getting that alone time. And we have a lot of alone time right now anyway. So let me keep going in some scripture here. Once when Jesus was praying in private, his disciples were with him. He asked him, "Who do you say I am?" And of course, that's Luke 9:18 and Mark 8:27. Jesus went from, here's another scripture, Matthew 15:29. Jesus went up from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he went up to the mountainside and sat down there. There he goes again, just being alone. I know that's a lot of scripture, but I still have some more, and I want to share. All of this is to say, you know, I really want you to see his alone time. Jesus, here we go. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up on a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. That was Mark 9:2. Now, after the brothers had gone up to the feast, then Jesus also went up, not publicly, but in private. That's John 7:10. At the southernmost point of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus walked about 90 miles from Galilee to Jerusalem, which gave him about 5 days of solitude. So in that John chapter 10, when he hears from the Lord and he goes from Galilee to Jerusalem, think about this. 5 days all by yourself, just you and the Lord, just you and God. And that's what Jesus did. My wife and I, we were talking about this, and I said, babe, how long do you think it would take us to walk 90 miles? And just to be alone, not have any distraction, not have anything. And so she was, you know, we were guessing like days and stuff like that. And I told her, well, the scripture says Jesus did it in 5 days. Of course, there's mountains, there's rougher terrain. But Jesus did it in 5 days. And I thought about that. I thought about, could you imagine taking a vacation, and your vacation is solely to be alone with the Lord? No plan, no nothing. Just go 5 days, 7 days, whatever the time may be that you take for your vacation, and just staying in worship alone with the Lord. Would you not come back revitalized, ready for what the next level is in your life? So here we go. Now here's another scripture that it's not just important to be alone with the Lord and to have that alone time. But remember, I was talking about in the beginning that worship means to honor and to reverence and to show extravagant respect for your God, for your Father. So we know in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples say, it says there, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I wanted to stop at this point to show you what you do. You know, this is Jesus is telling them what to do when they're alone with the Lord, with the Father. This is what you do when you're alone with the Father. And this, I'm going to read the whole, everybody knows the Lord's Prayer, but look at what, let me read it and then we'll go into it. So it says, verse 2, and he says, so he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So Jesus confirms that when we get alone with the Father, the very first thing he tells them to do is to show reverence and honor. In that phrase, hallowed be thy name, hallow is the base word, meaning, the Merriam-Webster meaning for that is to make holy or separate apart for holy use. And then the second meaning is to respect greatly or to venerate. Now, here's some synonyms to that. Bless, consecrate, sacralize, sanctify. It's all about drawing back, getting alone, separating yourself, getting away from distractions, getting away from nonsense and just life, and just getting alone with God. The very first thing Jesus tells them in the Lord's Prayer is get alone and show reverence to your Father. Let him know, just like David let him know, how important he is. Know his character, know his voice, know who he is. And that's what Jesus was pointing out there. Now, here's a side note to that. Did you notice that the last part of the Lord's Prayer is, but deliver us from the evil one? Now, I'm not minimizing that at all. But oftentimes, the very first thing is when we go in prayer, we want to be like, Lord, deliver me, Lord. But you skipped over honor, you skipped over reverence, you skipped over just giving God his due. And so that order that you see there is, if Jesus said it, I think it's a pretty good order that we should maintain. So you see that really to show honor and reverence to our Father, we need alone time. We separate ourselves from the distractions of the world to get back to the basics. Scale everything back. Bring back, make, you know, let's use this time to make life more simple for us. If you're involved in too many things, you know, pray about what's distracting you from keeping your relationship with the Lord. What's distracting you? What are you doing that you don't have time, that everything's pulling you in different directions? Now's the time. Now's the time while you have all this time to to meditate and to be alone with. Now's the time to figure all these things out. So we separate ourselves from the distractions of the world to get back to the basics. We meditate, we listen, and we know who God is, who he is to us and who we are to him. I hope, my hope is that while we still have this time, that we actually and purposely take this time just to be with the Father. Work on that relationship with him. Now I want to wrap this up. And I would like to let anyone watching that this all starts with you. It starts with simply asking God into your heart. It starts with a declaration and a belief in who Jesus is and what he did. So if you don't have a relationship with God or you just don't know, you're uncertain of your relationship with God. Well, let's pray. And we're going to put the words up so that you could pray and I'll read the words and you could follow along. You can read the words too. And let me tell you, if you're praying this for the first time, wherever you are, please reach out to us. We're a family church. More than anything, we want to build relationship. So let's pray this prayer. And if you're repeating this prayer or you're praying it for the first time again, please reach out to us. So this is the prayer. And it's, Father, I repent for my sins. I believe Jesus died and rose again and sits at your right hand. I declare Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that for the first time, there is a family of believers here at Coastal Family Church, Flagler Beach, that would love to embrace you and welcome you in. Come as you are. You have a family here. We're a family church. Pastors are awesome here. They shepherd us. They lead us. They guide us. They encourage us. And the leadership here is great. I encourage you, please come. If you need to find me, if I'm the voice that, you know, you're saying, I want to come meet you for God's glory, I'll be here. Come see us. We'll walk around. I'll introduce you to the whole family. But that's what we're here for. We're here to become family. We're here to embrace one another, encourage one another, exhort one another in our relationships with the Father. So, again, I want to thank you for watching this week. And let me just close out in prayer. And we'll see you when we open back up, okay? So here we go. Let's close out. Father, we just thank you for this message. We thank you for your Holy Spirit just moving through the message and delivering the words out of my mouth and my voice. And Father, I just pray for just everybody that was able to put this message together. I pray for John for taking time out to just be obedient and just to his willingness to serve. I pray that you bless his house, bless his family. And Father, I pray for the families of Coastal Family Church. I pray for their health and their safety and their strength in you. And Father, I just pray that you touch every family and just remind them who they are and who they belong to. So Father, we pray for those that we're watching for the first time. We pray for those that may have said that prayer of salvation for the first time. We pray, Father, that they'd find their way. They'd find their way to us or find their way to a church like us and just begin to establish a relationship with you. So Father, we just thank you for this time. We bless you with all that we are, and we give you honor and we give you praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, thank you for watching.